verse number 37. We'll stop and we'll go back and read the entire passage there. But Matthew chapter 24. Excuse me. Matthew chapter 24, verse 37. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Excuse me, I got it. Got this thing now. Just won't quit. It's a great retreat. That verse again, just a short verse, but as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Thank you, Lord, for this, your word. I pray that you'd help us to see some things that would be beneficial to us. Where we stand today, you warned us about this. You prophesied about this. You told us ahead of time the condition of the earth before your coming, and Lord, we're there, and all indications were there, and this is a mirror of the time right before the flood. So Lord, I pray that you would help us to understand a little bit about what the days of Noah mean and how it was back then, how it is today, and what they faced and what we face. So Lord, I pray that you'd just bless us today in this, your word. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's go back and pick it up from verse number 34 and read it in context here, a few verses. From verse number 34, Matthew 24:34. Excuse me. Verily I say unto you, Jesus says, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Now he's talking about the coming of the Son of Man, when he's going to come. They're asking about the prophecy of end times, and he just goes through a whole discourse on the great tribulation time, that judgment will come to the world. And he says here, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. And by the way, we've looked at that prophetically and have placed Israel becoming a nation, the fig tree budding with fig leaves, and then we know that summer is nigh, as Jesus said. And so therefore, when it's been applied, when the nation of Israel comes together again as a state, we've looked at 1948, Balfour Declaration, where Israel, sure enough, came together again, having a place, having a land, a nation that's been scattered to the four ends of the earth and has never done this before. And here you have the prophecy just kind of being fulfilled. Old Testament, where this land of dry bones will come together and be a great army. Well, you've seen that. You've seen that prophecy actually being fulfilled in our generation. And he says here, in culmination of what he's talking about the tribulation period, the end times, he says, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. And then he goes on to say, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. But of that day and that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. And then our text, but as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Let's go on. Verse 38. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Let's go down to verse 42. He continues with a thought. He says, watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the goodman of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered or allowed his house to be broken up. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. So here he is talking about the end times and what it's going to be like right before his return. And he says it's going to be just like the time. It's going to be a mirror of the time of the days of right before the flood in Noah's day. Noah lived in a day when man's wickedness crescendoed to the point where God could not ignore it any longer. We're living in a time that mirrors that event. Just as Jesus said, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. You're going to have it just like it is right before my return, as it was back then when things were so wicked and so bad that God had to intervene. Well, what was the moral landscape of Noah's day? It was a time of unparalleled evil and rebellion against God. Civilizations degraded to the point of a bold affront against the parameters of the Creator. The authority of God was rebelled against. And men were in offense. They were in utter rebellion to God and to His Word and His parameters, His laws. Reprobation of mind deformed even the very core of logic and sense. Till we read of that society's crossing of the divine line in the days of Noah. That line that we've referenced the last 2 weeks. We even took the verses there out of Genesis chapter 6, verse number 3. And the Lord said, "My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he is also flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. My spirit shall not always strive with man." You remember we talked about that, about God's lines that he's drawn that we might not know where they are. For some, it's death. For some, it's that working against what the Spirit of God is working to produce and to show in your life, to point to Christ and so that you'll come to be saved. But it's fighting against that. And we talked about the sin and the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. you can look up those messages online or through the website if you like. But we mentioned that. My spirit shall not always strive, God says, with man. Till we come to the point of God being driven to judgment there in verse number 5 of Genesis chapter 6. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, "I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them." And then you find that wonderful verse, verse number 8. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Thank God for that. And thus the beginning of God's plan of redemption and salvation for the human race. It was the ark that God blueprinted to Noah and said, "Build an ark. I want you to provide a way of salvation, provide a way out, provide a pardon for man's condition." And that is the grace that would be applied to the human race found in the ark. Thank God for the ark. Thank God that there's always an ark when it comes to man, that God has extended a forgiveness, a pardon, extended his mercy and his grace to mankind. Thank God for his mercy. Sometimes some would portray the Old Testament as just a record of God's judgments and his condemnation. No, not at all. Here, even in the flood, even in the judgment of mankind on that world, there was God's grace shown in the ark. But the pre-flood world had declined to a moral short circuit that endangered its own existence. And folks, we are there today. We are in the same place today where we have gone so far down, we've degraded so far down morally and spiritually that we've come to a place where we don't even work on logic anymore. We don't even work on common sense in man's insistence on rebellion, on going contrary to the authority of God and his position. Remember that Jesus said, "So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." It's going to be just like that before I come back, as it was in the days of Noah. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. The time before his return and the tribulation period of intense judgment on the earth, it will resemble the time before the flood. Now note Jesus' words of warning and his emphasis when he's laying these things out, Matthew chapter 24, where we started in verse 34. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. He's saying, listen, it's coming to a close, and it's going to be coming to a close quickly. It's not going to be 100, 200, 300 years in the finality of judgment. No, actually, if you take a look at God's timetable, it's 7 years of tribulation. 3.5 years of relative peace and safety as the Antichrist takes office and takes charge and hold. And then the last 3.5 years of intense judgment. And Jesus said, unless those days be cut short, shortened, then there will no flesh be saved. An intense judgment upon the earth in that short period of time. And then Jesus says this in verse 35, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. He says, you can take this promise to the bank. These words are sure and they're solid, and his judgment is coming just as sure as the flood came in Noah's day. You can count on it. These things will happen. So let's take a look at the similarities between Noah's day and our day. In the days of Noah, tell you what went on was business as usual. Look at verse number 38 of our text, Matthew chapter 24, verse 38. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. Business as usual. Self-absorbed life. Everybody was just going on and operating just as they always had done, with no regard for time. No time for God, no time for his word, no time to be concerned about what God is concerned about. Whatever the Bible says, whatever God's position, I have nothing to do with that. I have my life, I have my plans, my future. I'm just going to operate just as though God did not exist. We live in that day. We live in a time where there's more and more of the population to become atheistic and disregarding God totally. Not even in thoughts. When I was a kid, you'd have many of the businesses, I'm not talking about churches, religious institutions, businesses to be closed on Sunday. And the reason was because people in this land went to church, mostly. Different churches and different expressions of their worship, but they recognize a God who created all things, and there was this recognition of him, though it might have been just in form, but nonetheless there was a recognition of church and of religious things, and nowadays you don't have that. I remember when I first started Wooden Valley Baptist Church, we were in a Grange Hall. It was the Mountain View Improvement Club, it was called. It was owned by the Lions when we were renting this little building. We had a little makeshift platform where it was a couple of tables that folding tables we put down and kind of made a little platform, put a little podium on there. And I was against the wall, which had these windows behind me. And I don't know, 20 or 30 seats that were there in the auditorium in the little room that we were in. And I never had opportunity to sit in the congregation. I was always the one preaching until we had our first missionary ever came by, and he preached, and I got a chance to go sit down and, like everybody else, like you folks, and look that direction. And I'm sitting there watching in the services, and behind the speaker and both windows that were behind there was RV after, RV after boats after campers after all of this stuff going on. But, people just, hey, it's Sunday. This is the time to enjoy and go to the lake and do everything else and whatever. And I was so distracted. I I said, that's not going to happen again. So I put curtains on the walls there. So they at least they wouldn't see that, you know, and be thinking about the lake or whatever. And but folks, that's we live in that day where it's getting fewer and fewer people that even give acknowledgement to the Lord. And recognize that, hey, the things that I have are of God. Our thanksgiving has indeed warped from thanking God to thanking the Indians and the Indians thanking the pilgrims. That's where we've come to. We don't even recognize that. And business as usual. Things just go on. I mean, when we're looking at the financial world or the political world or whatever, just you know, business as usual. No time for God. Folks, that's what happened back before the flood, as in the days that were before the flood. They were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage. I mean, society just went on. Now, wait a minute. God said, there's going to be a flood. Noah was the preacher of righteousness, and we're going to be getting to that in just a little bit. But that was made very, very clear. Hey, judgment is coming, and people just ignored it. They just went about their lives. It didn't matter what God said. They were just going to do what they were going to do. They were self-absorbed until the day that Noah entered into the ark. Business as usual, just as today. You see, God has prophesied this time where there's going to be this intense time of apocalyptic judgment of the earth. And that is coming. And Jesus not only promised this, but he warned about his coming for those that are not ready. And he says, I'm coming, but you know what's going on right before his return? Business as usual, just as in the days of Noah. In the days of Noah, there was a denying of this coming judgment. Verse 38 says, until the day that Noah entered into the ark. Well, the ark was that vehicle that would save anybody that got into it, and they did not. They ignored that. There was a denying of coming judgment. They were oblivious to the danger ahead. It didn't matter what God said. They just didn't believe it. They weren't going to be buying into that. This denial is coupled with the discounting of God's parameters. When God says, no, you shouldn't cross these lines, and they cross those lines, and they just, you know, thumb their nose at God, it didn't matter. His laws did not matter. His word does not matter. And there is a denial of God's authority. They must have heard, and they must have known of the coming destruction. You see, the Bible says that Noah was a preacher, as we see in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse number 5. Talks about this time where God spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, the Bible says, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. He was a preacher of righteousness. Not only was he a construction worker or a carpenter or a boat builder, if you will, he was, along with his job, he was preaching righteousness. I don't know that he had a pulpit there on site, or maybe it was in town, but he was a preacher of righteousness. When he's building this ark, and they're all saying, Noah, what are you doing? You're crazy. Building an ark out in dry dock. There's no water around here, and you're building a giant boat. How are you going to get that down to the lake? He's not getting it down to the lake. God said there's going to be a flood, and it's going to be not just a local flood like some people would like to try to tell you it was a local flood. Local flood, why would you build an ark? Why didn't you just move? You know, come on now, it's not a local flood. And God made it very clear, it's going to be a time where there will be no safe place. There'll be no high ground. God was going to do something that had never been done before or will happen again after that. And it was going to be a flood, a worldwide flood. And here's this giant object lesson that must have been the butt of all the jokes in the society, don't you know? Here he is. He's building this ark out on dry land. And they're saying, Noah, you're crazy. But he's not crazy. He says, listen, I heard from God. And God said, there's going to be judgment. And God said, he's had enough. And God said, you cannot thumb your nose at him and go scot-free. You will be held accountable. And the earth is going to be judged. And so here he is. He's a preacher of righteousness. We know that the ark took about 120 years to build. What do you think took place in that time, during that time where the boat was being built? This giant ark itself was a testament to the coming flood. It's a testament to God's judgment that is coming. And they knew it and they saw that and just ignored it. They denied that judgment. They discounted it. Listen, you don't have to be either in Noah's day or the generation before the tribulation period to ignore the warning of God to a sinful life. Because God makes that clear. The Bible affirms, we know for sure that God tells us that all are under sin. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You are involved in that. You are in that group. I am in that group that the Bible says we come short because of our sin. And the Bible says the wages of sin is death. And it's not talking about just a physical death. It's talking about an eternal death, an eternal separation from God. And God has made that extremely clear that if you're a sinner, if you've broken God's laws, if you've broken the commandments of God, there is something coming to that, and you cannot just ignore that. The Bible makes clear a clear condemnation for the transgressions of God. Ezekiel 18, verse number 20, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Oh, that means if you've sinned, you've got that coming judgment upon you. The wages for sin is death. But there's an offer of grace. For God so loved the world. Hey, listen, folks. The Bible gives very, very clear a plan, a disclosure of God's goodness, of God's grace, of the ark, of the place of safety for you. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You see, judgment is coming, and those outside of the grace of God will perish. But God says, I've got an ark for you. I've got a place of safety for you. And it's a place, it's an area where you won't perish, but you'll have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. And God's saying, get into the ark. There's a place of safety for you. I've made a way of salvation, and it's through Jesus Christ, it's through him who gave his life for you. And there's an urgency to the pardon. God has always made that very clear. Amos chapter 4 verse 12 says, prepare to meet thy God. And listen, friend, the same warning, the same urgency, the same emphasis is placed upon you today. Prepare to meet thy God. Are you prepared to meet him? Are you prepared to stand before him? And the Bible says very clearly, we must get in the boat. But see, back then, before the flood, they denied a coming judgment, as we do today many times. But salvation was offered. See, back there, Noah's day, the boat was being built. I mean, it was not a question of how to avoid this worldwide flood that was going to come upon the earth. Salvation was offered. There was an ark of safety provided for anyone who would heed the warning. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 20 says, which sometimes were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls were saved by water. That was Noah and his wife, his sons and their wives, and there was eight people total that got into the boat. And this says that during that time, that 120 years, if you will, while the ark was being prepared, that displayed the long suffering of God. Long suffering. That means his patience, his offer that was extended and remained open, the long suffering of God as he waited. I mean, God is there waiting for men to repent, to turn, to come. God decided to destroy civilization, but then gave them over 100 years to repent, to turn, to believe. He waited and waited and waited. That's long suffering, folks. Salvation was offered, just as it is today. Salvation is offered for anyone. that believes God and believes the judgment is coming and believes that, we will stand before an all righteous, holy God and give account for our transgressions and salvation is offered just as salvation was offered back then in the ark and God is long-suffering. Let me ask you something. How many times have you heard about God's salvation, his long-suffering extended to you? Has it been a week? 10 weeks? Has it been 5 years since you've heard about the salvation of God being offered to you? Has it been 15 years, 20 years, maybe 50 years you've heard about this being born again thing and pardoned? But you've never been pardoned. You've never trusted Christ. You know what? God is waiting. He's waiting. He's waiting for you. And he's long-suffering. And he's waiting and waiting and waiting and offering and offering. And salvation is offered to you just as it was to those before the flood. You know, it's similar between then and now. Is they gambled with God. There was a gambling with God. The Bible says in our text, and they knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. See, what happened was they took their chances with God and lost. Now you're telling me, wait a minute, think about it. You're telling me of the millions and probably at that time billions on earth, you're telling me with the multitudes of those on earth, only 8 people took the offer? And nobody else believed? Nobody else believed enough to get on the boat? What was going on there? Can you think about that? Can you take in that time? Okay, so the ark is being built, and some people maybe when they hear that Noah was talking to God and God said to build an ark and he gave him blueprints to build this ark of gopher wood, and so he's going to be doing this, you might have thought this guy's crazy, but you know what? Noah is a righteous man. And he's logical, and he's not off the cuff here. He seems to be, you know, pretty stable. And then he actually starts with the building of it, and it's a huge undertaking. Took him over 100 years to actually erect the thing. And as you see those the ribs going up in this huge structure that is just unbelievable in scope and in size, and then. Can you put yourself in the shoes of some of those people then and maybe saying, you know, there might be something to this Noah character. There might be something to what he's saying, because what he's saying is accurate to our society. He's preaching about the wickedness of society, and the wickedness was great and violence was everywhere, and man's evil, the imagination of man's heart was only evil continually. And sure, Moses got it right there. God actually gets it right, but he's preaching God's word, and he's preaching what God's saying, and you know what? That is accurate, and you know what? We do know of, and by the way, this wasn't too far from creation, and from those that were in the original paradise garden that God had made, and at least those who knew of the creation of the world, and they're still, by the way, by that in that day, they lived to be 700, 800, 900 years old, and there were people that were around, and they could talk to those who were around and saw the acts of God, and so here they are. You're telling me of the millions of people there that only 8 people took the offer. Only 8 people believed Noah strong enough to actually get on the ark. Well, there might have been some who maybe doubted. Maybe some who thought, there might be something to this. You know what? Just like there might be some that are here today that, you know, you hear about the Bible being an unusual book, and it's not like any other book ever. And it's got divine fingerprints all over it. Prophecy 100%. No book has that. That does. the accuracy in science and history as we reveal more from archaeology, and right on target, when, you know, the Bible says there was a city here, and you have atheistic archaeologists that will say, well, that's what the Bible says, and we know it's reliable. They dig, there's a city right there, just like it says. And you know, and it's proven to be accurate in history and in disciplines of humanity and in math and science and philosophy. It's accurate. You know what? You might be sitting here and thinking, you know what? That's there could be something to that. There could be something to what God says in His Word, you know, because it is accurate, because, you know, what He does say is exactly the revelation of my own heart. That's what the Bible says, and it goes along with that. You know what? And I agree. So, yeah, you might have some things that you go along with and that you believe partially, just like there were those back then that thought, you know what, there might be something to this Noah guy. I'm not so sure that he's a nut. Everybody's having fun with him because he's building this boat on dry dock, but you know what, I don't think that he's a nut. I don't think that he's so far off. I think that he might have something there, but you know what, out of the multitudes of those people, only 8 got on the ark. That kind of a acknowledgement doesn't work. You see, those people have to repent. Those people have to agree with God. Those people have to stand with Noah, who is ridiculed. Those people have to be the ones to say, yes, that's right, and it's so right, I better get on the ark. The Bible says that Noah, by faith, moved with fear, built this ark and got his family on the ark. He was moved with fear. And you know what? There's some that might believe somewhat, but are not moved to get born again. Oh no, not going to go that far. Not going to become a fanatic preacher. I'm not going to do that. Okay, go ahead. Stay out the ark. Stay off the ark. Forget it. Don't get on. The similarities are uncanny. There was those back then who gambled with God. You know, maybe this Noah does have something there. But you know what? It starts raining, I'm jumping on that ark. It never had rained before, so you know that's the Bible says there was a difference in the atmosphere of the earth at that time. Some scientists have hypothesis of a ice canopy or whatever. The Bible says the great windows of heaven were opened and fountains of the deep were broken up. There was a great seismic change of the earth. Hey guys, watching that mountain the other day. Mount Adams, 12,000 feet up, as we were, 4,000 feet where we were. Awesome, awesome. Water didn't climb to over 12,000 feet. No, that was post-flood earth. The pre-flood earth didn't have that. You know what? There's enough water on the earth today with all the deep trenches of the ocean and that you have on the dry land. There is enough water on earth today that if the earth were perfectly round, didn't have mountains and valleys and oceans and ocean valleys, if the world were perfectly round, this entire globe would be covered with about 2,000 some feet of water. That's a lot of water, folks. This earth didn't have the mountains that we have, didn't have the Everest, and didn't have the Mariana Trench as we know of today. You know what happened? That happened when the Bible says the great fountains of the deep were broken up. That didn't happen in 1 minute. Can you imagine when it's right pre-flood? The Bible says in Genesis that when Noah was encouraged to build the ark and then finally get in the ark, the Bible says that he got on the ark 7 days before the floods came, before the rain came. 7 days. And the thing about it is, the Bible says that God shut the door. Noah got in the ark, and the Lord, the Bible says, shut him in. It was from the outside, the Lord shut him in. Locked. It's done. No more. And then they were there for 7 days. Before the rains started. So what do you think happened in those 7 days? What do you think happened to form the Rockies and to form Matterhorn and to form Everest? What do you think happened in those 7 days for the likes of places like Mount Adams to take place? For valleys that we don't even see that are underneath the ocean depths, Mariana Trench, which is deeper than Mount Everest is in height. The Bible says when the great fountains of the deep, can you imagine? Hey, listen, I was in a seven-pointer here 15 years ago or 20 years ago when it happened here. I was in this building when it hit 7.8, I think that was. There was a lot of moving and the shaking going on around here. And I remember running out to the 228th Street, looking down while this earthquake was happening. And it was not asphalt. It was waves. It was like, whoa, I didn't know streets could do that, you know. And that was a seven-pointer. What do you think took place in those 7 days when God began to break up the fountains of the deep? And then mountains were formed, and the water furs underneath were broken up, and waters became on the face of the planet rather than down deep in. And the fountains, the windows of heaven were open. Hey, folks, you know something? Here's a time where all of a sudden the people are saying, okay, wait a minute, it's time to get on the ark. And they run to the ark, but it's shut. God had shut them in. It's too late. You see, they gambled. They said, hey, I'm going to get on the ark. It starts raining. I'm going to do this. I'm going to get saved before I die. I've heard that before. I've heard that from friends of mine that were young. I'm 16 years old. Rich, what do you mean? I'm 16 years old. You know what? I'm going to do that before I die. No, never made this 17. You don't know what's going on tomorrow for you. You know why? You know what's going on? You're gambling with God. You're gambling with your eternity, just as they gambled with theirs. How many people, how many multitudes of people do you think in that generation said, now listen, I see rain come from the sky. I know this. I'm going to get on the ark. Too late. Too late. You know what? It took a long time before the waters actually went up for every then on then planet Earth, those peaks, which were not the peaks that we're talking of today, it took a long time for the waters to eventually rise up and have that boat become buoyant. What was going on during that time? What was going on during the time where people are starting to realize, hey, wait a minute, there's something to this. We've changed our mind. Noah, open up, let us in. And no more in. Can't open the door. I didn't shut the door. God shut us in. God shut the door himself. They gambled with God. They knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also be the coming of the Son of Man. Now listen, folks. This is what God warns us of today. He says the same thing back then is going to happen today. And you still have people that are thinking to themselves, one of these days. One of these days, I'm going to get saved. You know, preacher, one of these days, I'm going to do that born again thing that Jesus said you must have or you're not going to go to heaven. I'll do that born again thing one of these days. What are you waiting for? You're gambling. You are gambling like they gambled. But you know what? Only eight made it onto the boat. Only eight on time where the offer was on the table. They took their chances and they lost. See, God didn't purposely tell them when the hammer would fall, did he? The Bible says in our text, Matthew 24:36, but of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. He's not telling you when he's coming back. He's not telling you when the rapture is going to take place. He's not telling you when the doors will shut. You don't know that day. He's not telling you the time that your life is ended. He's not telling you the last time that you're going to be conscious to be able to make a decision. He's not telling you that. You don't know. I don't know that. And God purposely didn't tell them when the final day would be. But they gambled. Listen, friend, don't gamble with your eternal destiny. You are living in the days of Noah. Same thing. That's what Jesus said. That's what he said. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating, drinking, marrying, and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark. As the Bible says, but as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. But the good news is that there were eight people that did say yes. The good news is it was open to anybody that wanted it. The offer, the preacher of righteousness, the preacher that offered that invitation over and over and over and over and over again during that 100 years of construction, eight people said, we're in. We're there. These were the ones who believed God's warning. They were moved with fear, and they got on the ark. They paid attention to their condition. They took the divine offer of salvation and grace. They said, yes, friend, you can say yes today. You know why? You better. We're living in the mirror of the days of Noah. Just like back then, we are today. And he's coming. He is coming back. We had the campsites that we were in yesterday and Thursday, Friday, and yesterday. We'd have the guys go out and prepare breakfast. And when they would prepare breakfast, they would, you know, we were kind of spread out everywhere. We had so many people that we couldn't all stay at one site. So we're here, we're there, we're all over the camp. And so somebody had to kind of call them in. Yeah, your dad. it was Jonathan's dad, Rich. He had his trumpet. He's a first chair in an army band, and he is in orchestra and has played for most of his life. Really good trumpeter. I don't know what, trumpoutist? Anyway, he's very good. Anyway, and he brought his trumpet. How about that, guys? The first couple of nights, we got complaints and couldn't do it the last day. I'm like, come on, it was beautiful. But in the morning when it's time for breakfast, we're there just where we are, and you hear this. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da, whatever it was. It's perfect. It was perfect. It sounded like a recording. It was a trumpet that sounded. We all heard it. Couldn't do it the last day, you know. But anyway, it was cool the first couple of times. Hey, guys, you know what? The trumpet's about to sound. The last trump. That's what the Bible says. The last trump is going to sound. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. And then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to be with the Lord. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Listen, that's happening. The rapture is going to take place. The end. Hey, this last one, Jesus said, you better believe this. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words, my promise, what I'm telling you, it shall not pass away. The end of the world is coming. And it's right around the corner. But God has an ark, and the doors are open now. Get in the boat. Get in the boat. I think the angel is getting his lips ready. All right. Gabriel, you ready? Yes, sir. All right, here you go. And it's going to blow. Don't gamble with God. Get in the boat. Get in the boat. Every head bowed. Don't be looking for just a moment.